Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action. It's a new season. This could be my final season doing the pod because I'll reach 500, but who knows? Who knows? I may be back in bits and pieces next season. But Manchester United are back. They're back on the pitch. All the speculation basically ends in relation to what Manchester United can do during the season, because basically what you do on the pitch is what actually matters. I've had a little bit of a break from football. I say a break. I've just not been constantly watching it. You had the World Cup, and then there's been a little bit of a break. The season started a week later than normal, but there's a longer run up into the international break. Obviously, a lot of speculation with United and talk. Obviously, the midfield rebuild is the key. Belabor, the recent one for 70 million, apparently that's a really good deal because they wanted over 100 million last season. We were never going to pay that. We can't afford that. I mean, the talks of we wanted Elliot Anderson, we can't afford to pay the money because unfortunately we're run by scum parasite owners and we've got an idiot called Sir Rat who thinks they're nice people and basically apparently wants to bring the Manchester United no home friendly this season. They took the money in Warsaw instead. I think we know where the priority is. The priorities are making as much money as possible, which is important, but also building that new stadium. But shock horror, the scum parasite Glazers are still taking interest out of the football club because of the debt that they've put on the football club. Clear the debt, Sir Rat. Clear the debt. He won't, because, as I say, he's not a proper Manchester United fan. He'll probably be down at Chelsea for the majority of this season. I mean, in relation to the transfer window, it's been okay. To be fair, they have had to sort the midfield out. Last summer, it was sorting out the attacking issues. This summer, it's sorting out the midfield issues. They have bought three midfielders: Tielemans, Andre Santos, and Belabor. Obviously, with Kobbie Mainoo in there as well. It's quite an interesting mix. I think what you get is you've basically got two probably very more skillful and silkier style midfielders in Mainoo and Tielemans, but slow. And then you've got Santos and Belabor, who are more dynamic midfielders. So it's a fair mix. I mean, one of the biggest problems United have basically is lack of pace within the team. Got a bit more dynamism, but lack of pace. I mean, the only real pace in the team is Marcus Rashford. He is back. I think, it looks like he was stabbed in the back by Barcelona, but why did Barcelona not want him? Why did they not want him? I mean, even with England, which he's done well to get himself back in there, let's be honest, last season was all about Marcus Rashford. It wasn't about necessarily Barcelona. It was about him making sure he got into that World Cup squad, which he did. But when it really mattered, Tuchel didn't play him. He played Anthony Gordon. And Gordon's the one that's gone to Barcelona. How ironic. And to be fair, Anthony Gordon did well for England. He is, as I say, I've talked about football intelligence. United have thick footballers in regards of intelligence. Rashford is right up at the top of that thickness scale. Anthony Gordon, who you might look at and think, who's the better player, Gordon and Rashford, if you take away their years? But the one who's actually got football intelligence is Anthony Gordon. And maybe that's why, I mean, that's definitely the reason Tuchel played him more often than not. Is that the reason that Barcelona decided on him? Although there's financial considerations around Barcelona, but they can still go out and seemingly spend big money on a number of players. So Rashford's back. Let's see what he does. I mean, he was talking this week about, you know, he wanted people to stop talking about him and let him get on with the pitch. Do you know what, Marcus? STFU. Do the job on the pitch. Don't talk off the pitch. Don't get your people to talk off the pitch. Take control of your social media. It's, you know, do your talking on the pitch. And a lot of players, and I think for Manchester United, has to be done on the pitch. I mean, Michael Carrick, as I said, I did say I preferred Iraola to come in. He's gone to Liverpool, so that already brings something there. Michael Carrick, fair play. He did well towards the end of last season. He's probably in the right to become the manager, but this is where the pressure really starts. Because if he doesn't get results, he will be put under pressure. So already made his one faux pas for the season by saying that Mason Mount's a top player. I mean, is he? I mean, if you can't get on the pitch, apparently, I mean, there's rumours it's a slight hamstring injury, but Mason Mount, injured all the time. I'd strip him with the number 7 shirt. I'd take it off him because it's even more embarrassing than some of the other people that have had it since, basically since Ronaldo. I mean, Antonio Valencia, he left the shirt because there was too much pressure on him. I'd have, you know, his performances in that number 7 shirt been better than any other player that we've had since him. Yeah, we'll see. Team news is out. It's about 10:30 in the morning here where I am. I'm off around to my mate Linda's for the game. So well, the team news will be out, I think, 11:15, but I'll get that to you before the match. United start with two of the promoted sides away today to Hull. The 12:30 kickoff, and then it's Ipswich at home. So United have got to be targeting 6 points from those two matches. As I say, we'll see what type of performance or how they're going to try and play. As I say, the actual, I'd be more sold on the midfield if we were actually a team that kept possession, but we're not. Especially as we've got a defence as well that does seem to be leaking a lot of goals, and there literally is zero pace in that defence. So if you're Hull, if you've got some pacey players, you probably be able to exploit that. But United need to be able to control the game today to stop Hull having that opportunity. But we will see how that goes. So as I say, I will be back with the team news before kickoff, and then as I say, I'll be back post-match with my thoughts on the game. The season has started. I mean, you hear this thing, football is back. I mean, football has been back for like a couple of weeks. The Football League started last week. Other leagues start, the lower leagues lower down than the Football League started the week before. I think there was League Cup games even 2 weeks ago. So football has been, essentially been back since the sort of first week of August. It's just sort of, it's the old, yeah, let's have a big fanfare for the Premier League coming back. Say there are issues with the Premier League not being able to resolve court cases for some reason, but I'm sure there will be some resolution at some point. But you would hope that a resolution would actually come before a season starts. But anyway, as I said, we'll be back with the team news and then my thoughts post-match. Oh, PS, just on the transfers, United 100% need another left back. And I mean, they probably need other strikers. A bit of a worry, Sesko not play, having played any of the pre-season. That worries me in regards of similarly to De Ligt, where you're not hearing anything. And next thing you know, De Ligt, basically his last game's November the 30th, and he's not played a game since, and then has surgery in the summer, and it's probably not due back for a few weeks anyway. So you do worry about that with Sesko. We talk about a shin injury, which can be problematic, similar-ish to the back. So so that pans out, as I say, with United 100% need the left back. As I say, Xerxes still here. So as I say, I don't think a striker was ever going to come in unless Xerxes left. So as I say, it'll be interesting to see what the team starts. It'll be interesting to see if Xerxes does start today, because I fancy we need to give this guy either some game time or sell him, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out. As I say, team news soon, and then me post-match. So team news out for Manchester United's first competitive match of the season. It's Lemons in goal, back four of Mazraoui, Maguire, Heaven and Luke Shaw. Midfield two, it's Tielemans and Santos. Bruno ahead of them, and then it's Dorgu and Bremo and Cunha. Probably Cunha through the middle, I would imagine. No surprises with the team, really. Sort of picked the combinations that have played the majority of the pre-season games. So, which makes sense. See, the bench is pretty strong. You've got Martinez on there. You've got Kobbie Mainoo on there. Dallo's back on there. Shea Lacy gets opportunity. Xerxes is on the bench. Oh, and some bloke called Marcus Rashford. Ahmad didn't travel with the squad, so is that the first injury of the after the friendlies are finished? Anyway, the Mason Mount is injured, so we'll have to see what the situation is with that. But as you say, you look at United squad, it does look pretty strong, but it needs to be filled out more.
I mean, they've got to, as I say, this season they've got two matches a week. There's got to be it. Last season's Premier League was competitive enough. This season's will be even more competitive. Watch Chelsea, watch Spurs, one game a week. So, I mean, Chelsea have form for playing one game a week and winning the Premier League. As I say, United, we can't get plaudits for finishing third last season, but they play one game a week. United should be pushing up the table in that way, and Spurs and Chelsea will be doing that. United need to be doing that anyway, but they'll be having the additional matches. 40 games last season, minimum this season of 48 games. But United will be looking for pushing up towards, you know, 60-70, because that means they're getting further in competitions and opportunities to try and to win trophies. And obviously, they want to push themselves up the league. I'm just a few minutes away from Linders, so I will be back post-match with my thoughts. So all done at the MKM Stadium. I didn't even know it was called that. And it finished Hull 2, Manchester United 0. A fully deserved victory for a whole team that actually did what you do in the basics of football. You turn up, you do the basics, you put the effort in, you put your body on the line, something that Manchester United didn't even bother doing. An absolutely shambolic and disgraceful performance from a bunch of players who I've called out on this pod numerous occasions. And I've been called out for calling out some of these players, but absolutely shambolic performance. The goals from Ayessi and Mendy in the first half from set pieces. I mean, you could arguably say they were poor defending. Then they were good quality balls in, but it was second balls, especially in the first occasion. And you know, fair play, a whole they put, as I say, bodies on the line. They got themselves into positions for the crosses. That's a good saves from the goalkeeper. Apparently made six. I think there was only actually there were two proper saves. The rest were basically just like as if you just sort of made a back pass to him. I mean, there was a stat that came up at one point that was like 14 shots from Man United and 8 from Hull. Me and Linda were both, we can't really remember most of these shots. I mean, to be fair, at Hull they had 4 on target and United only had 3 on target. But you know, as I say, Hull fully deserved victory. But you have to look at Manchester United and the performance of these players. The only player that deserves any sort of leeway is Lemons, possibly some of the substitutes that came on. Santos and Tielemans both taken off. Two of the midfielders bought in the summer. I mean, the performances from those two were bang average is being generous. They were both shambolic. I mean, I think Andre Santos, there are question marks, and he is a young player, so maybe we can prove. Tielemans, who basically said, leave him, that I think it was something of the fact, but yeah, you know, going to Man United is something different to Villa fans. Villa fans who have basically been fantastic towards him. Well, I think Tielemans, you've learned that when you turn up at Manchester United, straight away you have to be performing, or the question marks are there. And if Michael Carrick's got any brains, neither Santos or Tielemans probably starts the next match, you could argue, although I suppose we've only actually got two of them. I suppose one of them has to start. Kobbie Mainoo did come on, didn't do anything, doesn't look fit. He didn't play in the World Cup at all, so it can't be sort of, he can't be fatigued, so he must have some kind of knock. Aidan Heaven struggled today. Oliver Burnley absolutely beasted him. Again, a young player, but you're playing for Manchester United now, and it's your third season, so people will ask questions and want to see performance out of you. So there are question marks there. I mean, Harry Maguire, who I'm sure Darren Fletcher on it, TNT is his mate or something, because he was trying to praise him for being United's most dangerous player up front. I mean, fair play to Harry Maguire for being that, but that's more about the tactics and the way Manchester United were set up and how Michael Carrick set up the team and how they were trying to break down Hull during that match. But Harry Maguire's actually a defender, so if he actually defended better, United may not have been 2 goals down. I mean, that is across the whole of the back four, which weren't great today, apart from Lemons, who, as I say, he's the only player that essentially gets a complete free pass. I mean, Marcus Rashford brought on at half time, absolutely do one, and say we're beginning with F. Bringing on Marcus Rashford is the guy to save you. Marcus Rashford should be sold by this football club before the transfer window is shut. The guy's not interested in playing for Manchester United. The guy is about himself, but he won't leave because he's on a massive wage and nobody's going to pay that wage, so we're probably stuck with him. But regarding the performance for Manchester United, absolutely shambolic. I mean, you go 2-0 down at half time, you think to yourself, it's better to be 2-0 down at half time than sort of at 90 minutes when the stoppage time comes in, that United still were. But we didn't see anything in the second half. The only thing was a save from Mbeumo in the second half. So Campbell will have to look at that, how his team was set up in the second half. I mean, if I'm Joshua Zirkzee as well, I'd walk in and ask for a transfer request to leave the football club, because if you can't bring him on to actually try and get goals, I mean, Sesko came on, who hasn't played a minute of pre-season football. He came on ahead of Xerxes. So why is Xerxes even still at the football club? The guy should be sold. He should be out of the football club if that's the case. The manager doesn't want to play him. And why the hell is he still at the football club? And Michael Carrick needs to go and actually step up to people like Jason Wilcox and Omar Bravado and say, I want this guy out. We need somebody else in. Because what's the point? As I say, the fun throw, I mean, Dorgo was taken off at half time. He did have a couple of chances, but it didn't seem quite right. And as I say, I don't call the team out necessarily in friendlies, because I think it's just friendlies. But when you get to the first game of the season, you have to step up. And fair play to Hull, they stepped up and did the basics. United had absolutely shocking. And Michael Carrick, his comment of, oh, it's only the first match, he's an idiot and doesn't understand what it is to be a Manchester United captain. I mean, worryingly, sounds like Ollie. Oh, let's just be nicey-nicey. Absolutely clueless. You're under pressure now, Michael, and you need to step up to the plate. You could be out of a job by the time we get to the key part of the season here. This is an absolute shambles. It's unacceptable, the kind of performance that was put in today, and the excuses that will come out from the players, blah blah blah, that's all you will get. And this football club, as per usual, thought, and then to say the people around the season thought, oh, two promoted sides first two matches will be fine. Well, you're not fine, because you've already lost the game in an absolutely shocking style of performance. And let's go to the player of the year. It'll be hilarious if this guy is crowned double player of the year with the PFA award. I don't think that's been given out yet. It was ridiculous that he got player of the year in the first place. Declan Rice clearly had a better season. Remember, the season starts in August, by the way, not in January. No leadership on that pitch. And the people who are supposed to be the leaders at Manchester United showed exactly what they are. Lazy, not up to standard, not doing the basics. And talk instead of performing on the pitch. As I say, it'll be hilarious if he's a crowned PFA Player of the Year. He shouldn't have been Football Writers Player of the Year. I mean, he's Football Writer, they're just utterly clueless. If they think he had a better season than Declan Rice, he didn't, by the way. But when it really mattered at the start of a new season, he didn't turn up by pretty much the whole of the Manchester United team. So Ipswich next up at Old Trafford, which that just basically adds more pressure on, and let's pretty much hope that the actual players decide to turn up that day. As I say, United aren't ready for the new season. They've not been ready for the new season. They say they put out Carlos Baleba, pretty much is a sort of done deal, unless he messes up the medical like the situation with Edison just before the start of the season as a PR exercise. And that is the problem with Manchester United. It's again still all about PR when it should be about stepping up on the pitch and actually performing, and players actually showing, doing the basics. That's what halted today. You stick down the players, you stick down the wages of those two teams today, and the performance from Manchester United was disgusting. And if Michael Carrick hadn't called those players out in the dressing room, well, as I say, Michael Carrick, ex-Middlesbrough manager, legend of the club as a player, but as a manager, we're seeing the shortcomings already. Remember, he's only on a 2-year deal. So getting rid of him won't actually cost that much, which is the most sensible thing that Jason Wilcox did when he gave him that deal. But we'll see what happens in the next game. I'm off to the Barking Dog in Hermiston for a couple of drinks, for a sneaky little trip up to Altrincham, meeting up with my mate Bedders. Maybe Dennis, friend of the pod, Dennis, might be showing his face. He might do now that United have lost. Maybe he's waiting for the Everton result. But an embarrassing performance from Manchester United. Fair play to Hull, but United showing exactly who and what they are. Basically, football isn't a priority. We're judging by that performance. Well, it wasn't football that I watched. It was a bunch of jokers running around the pitch thinking, yeah, we've got our money anyway. Laters, and I will be back after the Ipswich game next Sunday.